we got the pool ladder. And it never been at 25. And it never been right there, guys. That'll been at 25. $10 and go. And it never been at 10. And it never been at 10. Who wants in? $5.
Hello, and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho shops, clubs, pubs, and grubs that you always pass by but never seem to visit. I'm Lacey Daly.
And I'm Lacey Daly.
Cha-cha!
And I'm Joel Wayne.
Yeah, this is my co-host.
Yeah, that's me.
Here we are.
Tried to switch that one up.
Don't know how it felt. We'll evaluate later. Moving on.
We have
orders of business.
I know. What are we going to see today? What are we getting our mitts on?
I'm going to need to borrow your Saturday morning.
Okay.
So we'll have to coordinate our weekend schedules here because this is one that I have heard about from a few folks, not in terms of suggestions for the podcast, but just as an experience.
Yeah.
And it totally makes sense in my mind, at least how I'm picturing how this goes down. Main Street Auction.
Yeah, sure, right?
I think, is that what it's called? I mean, their website is saying Main Auction, but everybody who mentions it says Main Street Auction.
I think it is. I think it's Main Street Auctions. And it's right on Main Street on the corner?
Well, I just was looking at, I was like, where on Main Street is this? Because it's in Boise, and you think of Main Street as this very urban downtown core.
Yeah.
But it's like right up, like kind of where Quinn's Pond, what is that, Whitewater?
Oh, right. Yes, Whitewater Parkway?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me about it. Why are you drawn to this?
Well, I'm drawn to it. I think that, it'll be a really rich sound opportunity if it's happening like all the auctions that I've ever seen on TV and movies have been.
Yeah.
And then, like, clicking around on their site, every Saturday, it's the main auction. Every Saturday starting at 10 a.m., come join us for the best deals and the most fun in Boise, Idaho, with, like, 7 exclamation points.
So you know it's going to be good.
Specializing in estates, business liquidations, tools, lumber, antiques, furniture, and more. But there's also, like, these bay galleries, so they post photos of, I'm guessing, things that they intend to auction off, which makes me think this is a big deal that people are previewing stuff so they know what to come for when, and they probably like fight over it. Maybe not. It is Idaho.
Well, and then, you're kind of curious about the size of the crowd. I'm assuming this isn't three guys. You know what I mean?
That would be my guess.
Yeah. Okay, so what else? What do you want to answer? What are your central concerns?
In the age of the internet, I would even dare to call us in a post-eBay era.
Right. Feels almost kind of quaint now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of people going, I mean, I know people do. They still make money doing that type of thing. But in my head, I don't picture anybody actually making a living doing that.
So that's kind of, I don't know, like, I don't want to, how do you make your money? But really, like, how do you keep these doors open if you're scrolling through these pictures here? Silverware that may or may not be antiques. That looks like an old spatula, an armchair. Is this a stuffed animal? I don't know. I mean, is this stuff even worth money? And how much are people?
Right.
That's what I want to know. Like, how high do the prices go up?
Right. Or is it a quantity game? You know what I mean? It's just like you sell enough of that stuff. But still, your time has to be worth something. It's like, oh, if I make, you know, $5, it's like, yeah, but if that took you this long to then go. Because I guess we're assuming that people are bidding on it, getting it, and then reselling it, right?
I don't know. And how do they get the stuff here? Like, who's...
I don't know. Because it's not like it's Salvation Army or something like that.
People aren't donating to it. Yeah, we're really just breaking this down as we go along because I'm thinking all of these things. But yeah, how do they acquire the stuff in the first place?
Yeah.
Do people bring it there and then you have to split the profit? I don't know how that works.
Right.
I'm also very concerned. This is not a central concern. It's a personal concern. Is this going to be an environment akin to a bingo hall? Are people cutthroat here? Because you've never, I mean, I need to study up on the etiquette of a place like this because I don't want to get accosted by some old person.
Do we have to register for a paddle?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you just...
And when I just said old person, I just meant because I've had at least 4 instances in my lifetime where I have been accosted by an older woman at a bingo hall because that's serious business. I've learned my lesson.
You go into a lot of bingo halls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a back home thing.
I guess you're 30 now, so.
Yeah. I don't think I've bingoed in Boise yet, to be honest. It's just something I do when I go back to Buffalo.
Bingo in Boise. All right. Well, Saturday. I'll allow it.
Okay.
Let's check it out.
Okay.
All right.
Joel, what's one thing you think our listeners have in common?
They think we're funny.
Okay. Less about us and more about the podcast here. All the places we visited are in...
Idaho.
Yes. So our listeners probably enjoy exploring and learning about Idaho?
Yeah, I'd take that bet.
So don't you think that they should check out the Idaho State Museum?
Totally. It has so many exhibits and all this information about this great state of ours.
We're talking over 500 artifacts, 46 multimedia displays, and nearly 900 photographs that all help tell the story of the people and landscapes of Idaho. Doesn't that sound like something our listeners would be into?
I think they'd really dig it.
Learn more about upcoming exhibits, museum hours, admission pricing, and special events at history.idaho.gov.
So, just rolled up.
Yeah.
And so we are parked kind of, there is no lot because it's just this warehouse kind of squished between some other businesses. And so we're not parked in front of it, but we did drive by it and it is not what I thought. Like, seeing the photos and even just the plot on Google Maps, I thought it was like some big industrial warehouse. But it's actually like, would you say like an old ag?
Yeah,
it kind of looks like a barn.
Yeah, an old agricultural, which I guess would make sense for the pens or whatever it is, because the, they're stalls, right? On both sides.
They call them bays.
Bays, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of a long and low, not low, but I mean low in comparison to even some of the stuff around it, you know, it's not that tall, just this long.
It was shocking to me. And the front doors were open. It's a straight shot. And there were a lot of people in there. And so I'm feeling a little nervous because I don't know if we've podcasted in a crowd this big.
And people are
probably going to be staring.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder about that one, too. That's always my... And then too, we don't have, you know, we don't necessarily have an agenda. We don't have time set up or anything like that to go and chat with anybody who actually runs
it. And I was
it.
Like, and I was thinking that one, and I was like, shoot, how are we going to find somebody who actually works here or is a part of it? But maybe we don't need to. Like, if we talk to enough people, I think that we can answer my central concern of, like, how does a place like this fare in the post-eBay era? How, you know, who's coming here? Who's keeping it alive?
Sure.
People are, like, rolling up here with trailers. This is making me think it's like that, what is that show called that I've seen and you haven't, but you know the name of?
Oh, Storage Wars.
Storage Wars,
Why do I know the name of it?
I don't know. But, okay, I guess we can just stop pondering about it and go in.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go.
Okay.
So we get out and head towards the auction, but we're stopped by a pumpkin-colored stray kitten wandering among the construction zones who makes a beeline right for us.
Yeah, they just didn't say brontosaurus anymore. It was like, what? Oh my gosh, is that a cat?
It's a kitten. Hi, kitten.
Hi. What are you doing?
Oh no. Do you have a home?
You're just a little nugget.
Hi, baby. So dirty.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want a third cat?
No, that's... I can't... Oh god. Why?
Get out of the road.
Before you know it, LD has scooped her up and our trip to Main Auction is totally lost as we try to figure out what to do with her. We actually made a little 5-minute episode out of this adventure, so go give it a listen. Anyway, we schedule another field trip the following Saturday, this time with our wives in tow, and actually make it into the auction this time. No stray cats on our heels.
Inside, it's a massive high-ceiling ag shed. The main corridor is probably about 80 yards long, with dozens of wooden elevated bays on both sides with stacks of merchandise behind cyclone fencing. There's an auctioneer on each end of the shed, and his helpers pull aside the fencing and hand him items to auction off. The crowd shuffles right along with him, standing in the main corridor or perching on the edge of a bay across the aisle.
We start things off by getting a number, so we can bid on something if it strikes our fancy.
Hi.
Hi there. I've never been. What do we do to get a number?
I just need a driver's license.
Okay.
That's it? All right. Do you have yours on you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Have you fill this top part out? Name, address, telephone number. Email is optional. Sign the bottom.
Okay.
Can you do that?
For you?
Yeah, sure.
Next, we talk to David, the owner of Main Auction, who, lucky us, just happens to be coming off a break in the office.
We've been here for 81 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm the fourth generation to keep the business going. And
it's a family business?
It is a family business, yeah. Wow. Yeah, we're currently grooming the fifth generation down there. So it's hopefully everything continues on. I've been working here since I was 20 years old. I started as a hand-up drag back, moving the merchandise, then I moved to a clerk position, and then as I progressed, I learned how to auctioneer, and now that's what I do.
Okay.
So, I actually bought the business from my uncle 11 years ago.
Okay.
So, Yeah.
So it's been a while.
It's been a while.
That you've been doing it.
And is it only Saturdays that this is going on?
So the auction is only on Saturday.
Okay. I'm assuming you're doing all the other work during the week.
Yes. So we're here Tuesday through Friday to receive merchandise, get it all checked into the auction, and as you can see, we get a lot of merchandise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is our average week. So we'll sell today. Between the two auctioneers, we'll pull the hammer 2,100 to 2,500 times.
Wow.
Gosh. Okay, so where's most of the stuff coming from?
Yes.
Then?
People like you and I, cleaning out the garage, buying new furniture, estates, things like that. Like I've got five bays on this side that we cleaned out a house. Somebody passed away, and the family said, "Hey, come get it all. We
so
can't
it's
deal with it."
Donations.
No, it's not. Donations.
It's no. They sell it to you.
No.
How does that work?
So it's on a consignment base.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you bring it down here, we put it on the dock, and we sell it to the highest bidder, and then we get 30% commission for selling it for you.
So then I would come back and get money from
yes.
you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you would actually get a check for 70%.
Yeah.
Oh. So what do I do with this then? We're registered, and okay. I want something. So if how does that work?
If you go down there and you stand in front of the auctioneer, whatever side the item is,
yeah.
Okay, so they put the item that you're interested in. For example, this Instapot, since we're standing right next to it. They're going to take it
I've been
out
looking
of the box.
At one. Yeah, I mean, you know.
The amount of stuff you can cook in one of those things is endless.
But is this a timing thing since they moved down? Like, I see this as here, so I'm like, well, I've got 2 hours to
you
spare.
You got 8 hours.
8 hours. Okay.
So we literally will start at 10 o'clock, and we normally don't get done until somewhere between 10 and midnight every Saturday.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So what they'll do with this is they'll take it, they'll put it up on the gurney, and they'll take it out of the box, they'll plug it in and show you, hey, it lights up, so on and so forth. So the auctioneer is going to start bidding at what he feels it's worth.
Oh.
Okay? And then say he's asked for $50. And then he'll go down until somebody raises their hand. It could be somebody could raise their hand at 50 or they could raise their hand at 5.
Yeah.
And then once somebody raises their hand, then two or three other people normally will. And then you have a bidding competition. And whoever the last person standing is wins the item. So whatever the last price he gets a bid at $25 or $30, he says sold. And then you hold your number up and then they put it on your number.
I'm curious if you know how many people are purchasing just personally for themselves, and then how many people are reselling, you know, doing the eBay
thing? That's a hard one to factor because, you know, when somebody registers, you don't know if it's going to be a business or unless they specifically say, hey, this is for a thrift store or something like that.
Right.
But it's a pretty good mix. I would say it's a good 50-50. I know of several resellers that come down. And they don't always buy a truckload because if there's good merchandise here, it takes care of itself, and then there's not enough margin left in them.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So,
has that shifted over the years, you think?
No. What I've seen. See, when eBay first came out, I was here. Okay, and we were concerned about that. You have an online auction and people all over the world can buy your items. We thought for sure that there would be that we'd feel the hurt.
Yeah.
And it was actually the opposite. So what happened is you'd have people come into the auction looking for those items that they could resell. So we ended up getting an influx of crowd looking for merchandise. So the people that are here, they're here for a reason. They've seen something that they gotta have, or they're very specific on what they're buying. A lot of the new people in the valley don't know about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is probably one of the most diverse businesses in the city. I mean, you look around and you see every ethnic group possible.
Right.
But the common ground is everybody knows that this item can be bought and what's the price.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
We thank David for chatting and let him get back to his other job as one of the auctioneers. Then we find our wives and head down to explore the wide variety of merchandise in the bay.
So my thing was they literally auction off every single knickknack that I've seen, right?
Like, yeah. Well,
volcanic
in the way...
Volcanic ash.
Oh, yeah, from
and little do
Ritzville,
you know, it's somebody's cremated
Ritzville,
grandfather.
Washington.
Next, we chat with a younger couple wandering around and looking at the merchandise. It's like window shopping, but you're looking through a cyclone fence rather than a pane of glass.
Have you guys been here before?
Yeah, we come on a lot of weekends.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, we don't live far from here, and we moved into a house without anything to put in it.
Okay. So you're not reselling, you're buying for yourself.
A bit of both.
Oh, yeah, some kind of a combination. Okay. If we find something we really like, we'll keep it for the house.
Okay. All right, what are you guys keeping your eye on then today? What have you found?
Well, this morning we found like 120 carpet tiles, which is something that we've been looking for. So that went really well.
And did you bid on it then?
Oh yeah, we got it.
You got it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Congrats.
We head down to the opposite end of the auction shed where David, the owner we just spoke with, is auctioning items. And spoiler alert, David is very good at what he does.
Oh, we got the pool ladder. There it is. Warning, no diving off the top. And it never been at 25. And it never been right there, guys. That'll been at 25. $10 and go. And it never been at 10. And it never been at 10. Who wants in? $5. And $5 on the pool ladder. There been $5. And $5 is all. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And been $5. And been $5. And been $2, guys. And $2. And $2. And never been at $2. And been at $2. Thank you. Now $3. I do. I got $3 to go. And been at $3. And never been at $2. And $3. All in. All done. Sold it for $2.
We listen to David for a little longer before we chat with some of the other auction attendees.
Can we ask you if you guys have ever been here before?
Yeah.
You
sure.
have?
Yeah. We've been here for like 20 years. We could have gone back and forth.
Okay.
Our kids grew up here.
Okay. In the auction place?
Yeah. Main Street? On the weekends. Yeah. Coming over on the weekends. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you guys always on the hunt for stuff, or is it more of just like part of what you do on the weekend?
It's just part of what we do on the weekend now.
Yeah.
We used to be on a hunt for stuff, but we've got so much stuff now.
So then when you say that you used to be on the hunt for stuff, was it to resell or was it to keep? I mean,
it was to
or
keep
both.
For us.
Okay.
But anything extra that we had, like let's say we bought something good and then it came in a box of stuff, then you just return that box and you just keep the thing you want and then resell it.
Oh, and then resell it here and then you might. Okay.
One year there was an old desk, a wooden desk.
Yeah.
And it was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it weighed like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
She bought it for $1, and then we just couldn't pick it up, so we just left it and sold it the next auction for $100.
Okay, you've been doing this for a while, so I consider you an expert. If you see something down the way, are you trying to time it out, or are you going to be here all day waiting till they get there?
No, I've already came back again. I got here at 10, and then I've come back again, and I'm probably going to come back about 5 or 6, and they should be right about there.
So it's definitely a timing thing?
Yeah.
Or if you find something that you like, they'll let you give a silent bid. So you tell them, this is my number, I'll go up to, say, $100.
So at least you're
kind
of covering
them. And they'll bid for you
then.
While you're not here.
Oh, okay.
Just in case.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Nobody
told us about that yet.
Yeah.
There's all these hidden secrets.
Yeah.
We learn a few more tricks of the trade. The minimum bid, which is $2. Good things to look for at every auction, furniture and tools, before we're approached by a younger auction attendee, Sky, who, ding, 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 is a You Know the Place listener.
Do you come here very often, or is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you doing here? What are you bidding for? What are you looking at?
I always come here and bid on, like, old machining tools and stuff like that. Like old vices and
any specific reason? Is it just line of work or what?
I like old tools.
Oh, okay.
I like to restore them and then like use them.
Okay. Wow.
And so you can find some like really, really sweet stuff here.
Do you resell at all or do you just keep all your stuff?
I pretty much just keep it all.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool place, you know. Where else? You can buy old tools, old bikes. There's a box full of skulls over there.
Of what?
Like animal skulls, there's a whole box.
Why not?
Oh, yeah. That's spelled wrong. Yeah, sure.
We wander over to one of the auctioneers, and Adi, Joel's wife, has her eye on a pink electric scooter, which I bid on for hers.
$10 for my 10, 10 from the 10, 5 from the 7 half. 5 from the 7 half, 5 from the 7 half, 7 half, 7 half, 7 So 5 number is...
Is this two?
472, 472,
okay. We got a scooter!
I don't even know how much I just...
Does she have to get it?
Yeah, you gotta go get it. We just bought a scooter, so.
Scoot.
So we win the scooter for $5 plus the auction fee and head over to settle up with the cashier. But not before chatting with one of the other auctioneers, Rusty, who gives us a hard time for leaving so soon.
Yeah, we don't maybe have the stamina, at least today, to stick around till midnight.
Yeah.
I know, I can't believe it goes that long.
Till it's gone?
Till it's gone.
Yeah.
So last week, how late were we here last week? I wasn't here last week, but how late?
We were done at 12:30.
12:30?
Yeah.
Is that early or late for you guys?
It's about
average.
Average.
But, you know, we used to go a lot later.
Yeah. Two in the morning. Three in the morning is the latest I've ever been.
Wow. Four is the latest for me.
We pay our bill at the cashier window.
I guess we got to settle up.
Okay. Is this what we give you?
Yep.
All right.
$583.
And head out to the car to debrief, lugging the folded-up pink electric scooter with us, instead of a stray cat this time.
Well?
Well, first off, I can say I get why people just hang out there. Or why, like, if you were just, like, running errands or something like that, you'd be like, will you pop by? And then you look around, and then you're like, I think I'm going to go back later today.
Yeah. I was saying that by the end of it, I was kind of feeling like I got it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I understood how it worked. I understood the appeal. And like you're saying, like, yeah, why not? If you don't have anything going on. My only catch is I don't need any knickknacks.
No. For me, it would need to be things that are really like, oh, I've been looking for a miter
that
saw.
Pool ladder.
I've been looking for a pool ladder.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys have anything?
No, I just want to see 80 Scoot Scoot.
I've wanted an e-scooter for so long, and I can't believe I just got one for $5. I really hope it works.
It was $5.83. We'll go take a break, and then we'll go plug it in.
Great.
All right, guys.
Guys.
LD, do you know what's going on with the removal of the Karcher overpass between Nampa and Caldwell?
Yeah, the Idaho Transportation Department is replacing the overpass to allow additional lanes to be built on I-84.
So that's like common knowledge?
Yep.
Where are you reading this from?
I'm not reading anything. I just learned it from ITD's new podcast, Drive Idaho.
I did not know that existed.
Yeah, no kidding. Drive Idaho is a podcast devoted to providing news and information about road projects right here in the Treasure Valley.
So where do I find this podcast?
Oh, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm subscribing right now.
It's about time.
So, back in the studio after main auction.
What are kind of your first thoughts?
Well, okay, first of all,
Don't point at me.
I don't know why I
no,
do
you
that.
Can't, I guess.
I wanted to do like a list of items because we didn't do that at any point throughout this because, you know, we always like to include these lists.
We meaning so, mostly usually me. You. Yeah.
Yeah. You sometimes do too, like recapping.
Just to surprise you.
Okay. Some of the items, some of the merchandise at main auction include a liquor decanter shaped like a little boy peeing, Pendleton Woolen Mills blankets, ladders, tools, doors, and a box of animal skulls.
SKULS. Yeah. That's really just a taste of what you can experience at main auction. But mm-hmm. What were kind of your first thoughts?
Something that occurred to me, particularly after listening back through some of the stuff that David had to say, the owner of main auction, he described their attendees as blue-collar folks at mm-hmm. one point mm-hmm. in there. And there's something there about people who are willing to get their hands dirty, I guess, who are open to buying and selling used items and who are personally open to secondhand goods, which is not everyone.
Right.
It's not. And that's something I think that we as a culture are bad at, mm-hmm. But good at recycling, throwing it into a recycling bin.
Mm-hmm. But then not really...
Not doing anything, yeah.
Well, it's easier to just not think about that stuff. And
if you're allowed to not think about it, then you will.
How many people have enough money and not enough time or patience that when something breaks, they just buy something new?
Sure.
You know, like even if it's your wash machine, you don't spend a hot second
right.
even YouTubing it or calling a repairman. You're just like, yeah,
sure.
You know, it was kind of old and I wanted a newer one anyways. And it's like, well, what happens to the old one? You can probably fix it.
Right.
It's going to go in the landfill.
Yeah.
Maybe they sell it, though. Maybe they bring it to Maine. No, they don't.
They probably don't.
No.
Yeah, man, the amount of air mattresses I bought over the last 10 years. Well, shoes. Yeah,
cobblers. Too.
Cobblers. I know.
I need to start going.
I know. What about your initial impressions, LD?
Disclaimer. I am not very big on clutter, just as a person. Mm. I wouldn't quite say I'm a minimalist, but near there. Much closer mm-hmm. to there than I am a hoarder.
Yes.
And I'm very big on necessity and order. But I'm not above spending a Saturday morning garage sailing, which is kind of what main auction felt like to me.
Yeah.
Kind of just like a big garage sale. And I can totally see myself in the future, if we have errands to run downtown, like getting a coffee, going to check out the auction, totally. Stopping by Trader Joe's, that kind of thing.
Because it is a little bit like, it's like having 100 garage sales.
Yes.
What about your central concern?
Oy, my central concern was a little messy.
Okay.
Or let's call it fluid. It was just a lot of thinking out loud about how does a place like this survive in what we were calling the post-eBay era.
Yeah.
Come to find out, it actually thrives.
Yeah.
And we might not actually be in a post-eBay era just yet. And if we are, if we've moved on from eBay, there are newer, shinier digital platforms for people to auction off their own items, mm-hmm. you know, personally or as a business, but on their own, not having to go through someone. But I found it really interesting how David said those kind of platforms actually help the auction because all the people who are selling stuff on there need stuff to sell.
Yeah.
So it actually drives them to the auction. But in the same regard, if there's a threat or a concern to his business being the auction, it's the same thing. Where do I acquire stuff?
Right.
Supply and demand. I don't know.
That was that piece of it too that I found really, really interesting was the balance, right? Half are buying for themselves, half are buying to resell. But it also seems like just from our 4-person survey.
Very official.
Yeah. It also seems like a lot of people do a little bit of both. Maybe the question about the post-eBay thing, we were only looking at it from the buyer side, but not from the seller side.
This is a great transition into my final takeaway.
Yeah, let's hear it.
My interest has peaked. And like I just said, I'm not above stopping by here on my Saturdays and just window shopping or what have you. But I kind of want to try the seller side. Because whenever we have something to sell, we turn to Craigslist or the apps like OfferUp or Letgo or whatnot. And it's simple, right? You take a couple of pictures, you post something that you want to sell for $40, somebody offers you $35, and our stuff, I don't know, it just usually goes quick, so it's not that big of a pain. But there's this opportunity where that $40 thing could go for more.
Yeah.
If you take the risk and bring it to main auction, right?
Right.
And so, of course, you're risking it could go for way less. It could go for the minimum bid of $2 because nobody wants it.
Sure.
But I don't know. It could be fun.
But if you don't have much skin in the game, you know,
right.
and you weren't expecting much anyway.
All you really
want to
do is get rid of it and maybe have a little bit of cash.
Sure, sure. And in that way, maybe this goes into my final takeaway too. I kind of get the addiction or the pull. Addiction's maybe not the right word for it, but I get the pull of it. It's partly a gamble, partly a hunt, partly kind of a social event or an opportunity for people watching even, and then partly for some people a part-time job.
Yeah.
It's an event, and then it's every Saturday.
It could be a regular event.
Totally.
Yeah. Now the question everybody's dying to have answered.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm going to ask?
Yeah, I kind of do, and I forgot about this.
Wait, the scooter?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you're a mind reader. Whatever came of the scooter, because we never did get a video of 80 Scoot scooting along.
Well, I know, and didn't come with a charger, so I had to look for a charger for it. And luckily, we did have one in the house that fit it.
What?
Yeah, I know.
It's the old iPhone charger.
Oh my gosh, that makes me sound like a hoarder. So charged it, never got any power light.
You know what?
And I don't want this to be a poor reflection of the...
And let that be a lesson for all of you that want to go check out Main Auction. Mm-hmm. If they're not going to plug it in and prove it works, don't bet on it.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go back and bring that to Main Auction and see you'll spend more than $5 on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And then I'll try to make a little bit of money.
There we go.
Yeah. It's still in the garage.
Circle of life. You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio.
And if you like the podcast, consider supporting the podcast.
Absolutely. This really is a passion project for us, and we'd like to continue making episodes.
But there are no guarantees. So if you'd like us to make another season of the podcast, consider donating $20, $10, or even $5 to keep us in business.
Go visit youknowtheplacepodcast.com and click on the support link on our homepage to make a secure donation.
And I'll tell you what, if 100 of you donate, we'll set up a time to meet in downtown Boise to share a drink and hang out.
With 100 people? Also, tell your friends about the podcast. Rate and review it wherever you listen. Just help us get the word out there, team.
Anything else?
Our sole credit. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys, who's been a supporter since the very beginning.
From across oblivion, like stone, I'll glad they sink when I hear.